Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 2 and 3. Comfort thy servant now, while at thy throne I bow, for thou art love, and thy pardoning grace is free. Sinners who call on thee, thy tender mercy see, O God above. 2 and 3 of 235.
Thank you. wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the book of Isaiah, thereof chapter 11. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with a righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Thus far. We will now read for the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This The dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore, God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein, to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Niels? Father and Mother Janssen? Father and Mother Den Hollander? Dear parents, Isaiah has prophesied many years ago of you standing here. We read, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. Are you a Jew? No, you then are a Gentile. And you stand here seeking something. You do seek the baptism of your seed. That is, hear what Isaiah did prophesy of so many years ago. He speaks here about an ensign. What is an ensign? That is a banner, a standard. Thus, when there was an army, then there was a certain rallying point. Today we have a flag. And around that rallying point, everyone is called when they will go into that warfare. And here it says, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And we have heard lately about that root of Jesse. And that was the root of a stump. It was the root of a tree that was cut down, out of which otherwise there would be no expectation. But we heard that the root was not dead. And that root that Isaiah is speaking about is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he says that that root is going to be lifted up. He said it is going to be as a banner, as a standard, and that also all the Gentiles that are in the world are going to be gathering around that standard that is lifted up in the midst of the whole world. And so we can see something in our own days in the midst of the entire world, but also in our own midst of the fulfillment of that word of God, that prophecy of Isaiah, and that was so many years ago. But Isaiah did not end there. And then he says something else. He says, and his rest shall be glorious. That is not speaking about the rest of the ensign. No, it is speaking about the rest of the church, and his rest shall be glorious. What is unrest? You know what unrest is, and I know what unrest is, because when our conscience burns within us because of our sin, then there is no unrest like that. You and I know what it is, and your child does not yet know what that is. But he is soon going to know what that unrest is, if the Lord will spare their life. And now there is only one place that unrest is able to be taken away, in their heart, but also in our own heart. And that is at this fountain that you hope to approach in the next few moments with your child. That is that fountain by which that unrest can be taken away, and therefore you do well, according to the command of the Lord, to present your child before him and to approach with your child at this fountain. Isaiah says, and his rest shall be glorious. That will not be simply by coming in a physical way unto this fountain in this day, but that rest that is to be experienced is a rest that is received only by grace. And what is that rest? The Apostle Paul says, he speaks about there being no more conscience of sins. No more conscience of sins. That is rest or not. Do you know a little? Do you know but a moment of that rest in your own conscience by faith? And when your soul may draw near, and when it may be brought near by the Lord unto this fountain, and then if we may know that for a moment, and then we may be so glad when we are in the congregation that we may see this. And in our congregation so very often, and this is laid out before us, and the children being brought to this fountain, and that is a reminder every time again for those who may have tasted a little bit, and that that fountain remains an open fountain, so necessary. Why? Because sin remains, because guilt remains. And then when that fountain may be continually open, and when it may be given a little from on high, that we may experience a little bit of that rest from all the guilt of sin. And yet, then there will be sometimes a desire that we may receive that complete rest. And that is not only in the justification, but it is also in the sanctification. When indeed that greatest rest may be received, when sin itself may be done away. And therefore, when you take those few steps there up onto this fountain, and when you draw near unto this fountain, oh, then you are approaching that end sign. That end sign that is lifted up, may you feel it in your heart. And then you would do approach unto, you approach unto the full solution. The full solution to all the needs and all the troubles of your hearts and of your child's heart. May the Lord give all of us to know it. For the first and by renewal. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 432, the third stanza. And after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. 432, stanza 3, for God's royal might serves his truth and right. Justice he maintains, righteously he reigns, manifesting grace to his chosen race. Jacob's seed he'll never from his covenant sever. Stanza 3 of 432. Elena Marie, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Marco Robert, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Gideon Dennis, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen thou these parents to whom thou hast given this great responsibility, oh, that they may be given a place continually at thy footstool, for the prince of darkness goeth about as an angel of light and as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it is in every way that we do not know more skillful than we are to come against him. But thou art wisdom thyself and knowest all of his wiles. O Lord, that they may also be given faithfulness in the promise that they have promised before the congregation and before thee, that they may be given to walk uprightly, that thy face may be sought in the inner chamber and also in a public way, that their children may have an example set before them of true godliness, that they may be given to walk also according to all of thy precepts and statutes, thy commandments, or that they might be given to say with thy servant, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. O Lord, remember thou us also as grandparents. Thou knowest where each one are, and also the great grandparents, both near or far away. O Lord, then thou givest that our seed may be brought into the church, that they may come also under that outward form of thy covenant, and then we may acknowledge thee for thy great goodness. O, that thou wouldst humble our hearts thereunder, but give us also a cry for our seed, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy. Remember also those that have become old. We think of those great-grandparents also that are far away in the weakness and the needs of body and soul. Lord, wilt thou care for them? And wilt thou be on their right and on their left in all of the frailties of both mind and body? And wilt thou give that thy word, and but also that thy sacrament may be a comfort for their souls this day, and that it may also be an encouragement in the midst of us as a congregation? For, Lord, thou knowest those who are thine. Thou wilt bring them under thy word. Thou wilt bring thy word unto them. And oh, we are given also already as young people, as children, to be brought in the way of thy providence under those first steps. Oh, then we are brought together with those means of grace which are so withheld from many in this world. Oh, that it might be seen with great gratification. Oh, that it might be viewed and beheld with great humbleness of heart and with shame upon ourselves, because we are ever seekers of that which is in this world, but all of the mercies and blessings that are bestowed upon us are so very, very great, and yet it is not sufficient. O Lord, we need the application. And now thou who hast been pleased to deal in the way of a covenant with thy created beings, with mankind, but also with thy only begotten Son on behalf of thine elect. O Lord, then it is thee who art faithful, and we have been unfaithful, and we have left thee in that covenant in our father, in our covenant had Adam. And thou, Lord, thou knowest how that we are so fallen away. that we are as dead, dry bones, and that we are not able anymore to return unto thee. But is it not for this cause that thou hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world? Oh, is it not for this reason that those shepherds did rejoice upon the fields of Bethlehem when thou didst reveal unto them that thou hadst given that child to be born? O Lord, then he is almighty. He is all wise. Oh, he is given everything, an appointment and an anointing, that he may deliver us from all of our iniquities. Oh, we beseech thee then, Lord, that thou may look upon it, each and every one of us who have this blessed sign upon our foreheads, oh, that it might never testify against us in that great day of days. Oh, if there is anything that we must contribute, Lord, thou knowest that it is impossible. There is no desire from our side. Oh, being dead in sins and in trespasses, then we are so completely dependent upon that sovereign work, that work that all starts and continues and ends within in thee. Oh, Lord, come then. We beseech it of thee. It is all thy own work. It is all thy own word. It is all thy own institutions. And we are unworthy of the least of all thy notice or attention. But thy dear Son, oh, he is so worthy. He has done everything that was required of him. He has done everything that he has promised to do. Lord, he has finished the work in such a willing way, according to all that was required of thee, the Father. Oh, could it be then that thou wouldst look upon him and upon thy own covenant and thy word and promise unto him, that if he would thus fulfill it, that thou wouldst give him a seed that would serve him? Oh, Lord, here they are, and in the midst of our congregation, oh, could it be not only our seed, but may they be his seed, oh, for that great and never-ending eternity. Lord, do it then for thy name's sake. Take us each and every one by heart and by hand this day. Oh, take away the desires of the flesh and of the world and of sin, and give to us the desires after true and the living God, and thy dear and blessed and only begotten and beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, give us a desire, and when that day of Christmas is approaching, that we would have him born in our own stable, each one of us. Oh, give us a place at thy footstool, and that we may beseech thee with all our needs and all our wants and all our corruption and all of our guilt. Oh, that we might be washed in that fountain, and that we may be made clean, and that we may be joined unto thee in and through that blessed mediator. Lord, remember us then in this hour, and we are gathered together once again in thy house, be on our right and on our left under the preaching of thy holy word. Come thou with thy spirit in a rich measure. It all belongs to thee, and thou hast done all that was objective. Do thou what is subjective. Thou hast paid the price and fulfilled all things. Give it now in our hearts that it may be complete, and that it may all redound to the glory and to the honor of thy great and thrice worthy and holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 49, all the stanzas. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 49. Thank you. Our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Isaiah chapter 11, and thereof the last verse, verse 16. Isaiah 11, verse 16, "And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." Our theme is the remnant's highway. First, the remnant, and second, their highway. The remnant's highway. First, the remnant. Second, their highway. "And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left." Who is that? The remnant, that is the rest, that is the residue, what is left over of that people, the remainder of that people, that is the people that are not yet gathered. That word very often signifies that it is a small number. It is a remnant. It is that which is left over. Isaiah says, "For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return." And that remnant that shall be left, that is spoken of already in the 11th verse here. "And it shall come to pass that in that day that the Lord shall set his hand the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea." Thus the Lord is going to bring his people back from captivity. But here we read also of a dispersion. So there is a scattering of the people that was not at that time yet historical. Thus it was at that time prophetic. And thus Isaiah prophesies about the gathering that is going to happen in that New Testament church. He says that there is going to be a remnant, that is with respect to all the multitudes of persons that are in this world, that it will be a small number in comparison to them, although the Bible says a multitude that will not be able to be numbered, 12,000 times 12,000, that 144,000 of the chosen ones of Israel, and they're going to be dispersed, and they're going to be brought back from all the four corners of the world. That remnant which shall be left, that are not yet gathered in that first 4,000 years of the world, they are going to be gathered in the last time. They're going to be gathered in the last dispensation, the New Testament time. The Lord shall set his hand again, the second time, to recover them. So it says the second time. Was there then a first time? Well, yes. Our text that says, "Like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." So the Lord is reminding his people about their deliverance, how that was when they were in that land of Egypt. And there they were in what? You know that, children, they were in bondage. They were slaves. They were not their own. They were not free. They could not do whatever they wanted. They were lying under the power of the enemy. And then their cry went up unto heaven. When do you cry? Well, you say, when I cannot do it myself. Yeah, when there is no power for you left anymore, then you are crying unto mother, you're crying unto father, someone to help you. And so that was there also in the land of Egypt. They had no power to deliver themselves. They had no power to deliver themselves from their bondage, from their slavery, from their death. That was their great misery. And they could not see how it was possible. They could not see how it was possible they could ever be delivered. And why not? Because of the power of the enemy. They were angry themselves with Moses. He had come to deliver them, but they could see no way. They say, Moses, it has only become worse ever since you have come. And you are putting a sword into the hand of Pharaoh, the Egyptians, that they can slay us. What could they not believe? They could not believe the promise of the Lord. Because the Lord said he was going to deliver them. And the Lord would deliver them. But they were not able to believe that promise of the Lord. Ah, if only they could have. It would have been so comforting, right? That they could have just left that all in the hands of the Lord. But you know, God's people don't have that just in their pocket, right? That they can take faith out of their pocket and say, now I'm going to believe, even through all the circumstances that I am in, when I can see nothing. No, faith is a gift of God. That is for sure. And what did the Lord do? We read, he set his hand to recover them. How did he do that? He rained down 10 plagues. 10 plagues down on the head of Pharaoh. And he took away all of his might and he took away all of his power. As he was keeping those slaves in his power, in bondage. And the Lord just threw him into the sea with all of his chariots and with all of his horsemen. And what did Israel have to do? Nothing. Nothing. What did Moses say? He said, stand thou still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that is what happened. Because then they only had to watch. And they had to watch as the Lord made a path through that sea. As the Lord did a miracle. As the Lord put a cloud behind them to protect them from that enemy. And as the Lord brought Pharaoh and his captains and his chariots. And they just watched. And they just saw them all sinking, boys and girls, we read, as to the bottom of the sea like a stone, the Bible says. That was their very enemy, that enemy that had so much power over them. And that enemy, when the Lord took it into his hand, had no more power over them whatsoever. And then what did they do? They sang. They sang. That is the only thing that they had to do. Oh, that came right out of their heart, didn't it? And now what does the Lord say? Isaiah says, the Lord will set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. What is he speaking about? Ah, he is speaking about when that new king is going to come. That is what Isaiah has been prophesying about. That new king of that kingdom. And when was that king going to come? When that kingdom was at its height? No. It was going to come when that kingdom was at its depth. Just like it was in the land of Israel. when he delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, then it was the enemy, and that people had no power. And now the Lord says, so it is also going to be. Oh, the people, when the Lord came, they had no power over their enemy. They had no power over the Romans. Whatever the Romans said they had to do, they had to do. And you know what they had also no power to see? How they could be delivered. So how is that possible? Because they are in those circumstances, and when that enemy has power over them, and they feel nothing but their weakness and their helplessness, and they are themselves not able to do anything about this, they cannot see how that possibly can come to an end. They say, if the Lord does not do that, it is completely impossible. They say, I need a wisdom that is much greater than my own. I need a power that is much greater than my own. And now Isaiah says, this is just what is going to happen. The Lord will set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left. So what does that mean, to recover? That is like the word to redeem, to purchase, to buy them back. And he is going to possess that people. That is now what that king is going to do. He is going to do that. He knows how to do that because he is filled, we remember, with that Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Thus, that new king, he is the one that is going to deliver this people. And he is going to rain down on the head of Satan plagues, just like he has rained down on Satan's servant Pharaoh so many years ago, the plagues from heaven. So he is going to rain down on Satan's head itself a power that is going to bruise his head, on that Satan who is holding his church. Do you ever feel that? You say sin that is in my heart, that holds me captive. I am not able to get out of it, out of the grip of temptation, out of the grip of evil, out of the grip of the devil. Do you ever feel that? The Lord says he is going to break the power of the devil, and he is going to release poor sinners. Not just sinners. Poor sinners. What is a poor sinner? He is one that cannot deliver himself from his sin, one who is held under that bondage. He is going to, it says, set his hand to do it. That is his almighty hand. There shall not be able to come a hand against his hand, the same as it was in that day of the deliverance from Egypt. And he is then going to gather them from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, from the islands of the sea, from Asia Minor, and from this side, from that side, from every place in this world, from the four corners of the earth. He is going to gather his remnant, we read, that are left. That is congregation Isaiah. What is he doing? He is preaching the gospel. He is preaching the gospel. You say the Old Testament is the law, the New Testament is the gospel. No, that is not so. No, because in the Old Testament there is also so very much of the gospel. And this is now Isaiah, and he is preaching that gospel. And he says, by the gospel, there is hope. Hope. You ever feel that? Did you ever have the smallest grain of hope under the preaching of the gospel? It is a preaching to those who have no hope. No hope. It is a preaching to those who are helpless. It is a preaching for that remnant. For that remnant that is bound, that is in the slavery of sin, and that is not able to deliver themselves from that slavery. Oh, if we could only all be brought to know our misery, our true misery. That is how great our sins and our miseries are, not only what they are, but how great that they are. They are so great that I am not able to deal. They have such power against me, and they have dominion over me, so that I am not able to lift up a finger against them, and I am not able to prevail against all of mine iniquities. Oh, this is the people for whom there is hope that is preached in the gospel. Thus, every doctrine that leads you anywhere near to hope that is in yourself, that is of the devil, that is of Satan, that is leading you further and further away from the salvation of your soul. I know that there are some of you that do despair. You despair because of your own impossibility. You say, oh, because of my own inability, because of the wretchedness of my heart, because of the unwillingness of my heart, because of the deadness of my heart, because I cannot deliver myself from it. It is so impossible. Oh, no, it is not. Is that what makes it impossible? Because it is impossible for you? That is not what makes it impossible. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that what is impossible with man, that is possible with God. And it is not only possible, but it is promised. The Lord will set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left, to recover a people who are not able to recover themselves, who have no power in their own hand to do it, who cannot fulfill that law of God, who cannot believe to the saving of their own soul, who have no power, who are dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, it is for them that the Lord, he is appearing. Oh, what is the prophecy about? The prophecy is about today. About what the Lord is doing today, even in our time, in that New Testament time, young people. Do you say, oh, the good old days? No, wait a moment. Wait a moment. They were all not such good days. Yes. Oh, we can read how there was more fear of the Lord. Oh, that is a shame, isn't it? Why does that fear not live in our heart? Oh, no. What is the Lord saying here? The Lord says that this time in which you and I are living, this New Testament time, that there was no time ever like it, not upon the face of the whole earth, not from the beginning of the time to the end of the time, that the time that you and I are living in, that is the most blessed time that is in the history of this world. Why? Because that head of Satan that is bruised. Satan is strong. You know that. I know that. Oh, Satan is stronger than I am. Satan is stronger than you are. Satan is stronger than our children are. But Satan is not stronger. He is not stronger than this promised king. He is not stronger than this king who has now appeared. Oh, is that not clearly evident? Then in all that we may read about him, that Spirit of the Lord did rest upon him, in all that he has done, what a wisdom, what an understanding, what a counsel, what a might, what a knowledge and fear of the Lord did live in him. Oh, his grave that opened up the third day. No one could hold him. Satan could not hold him. Death could not hold him. Hell could not hold him. No, because the Lord, he was going to set his hand a second time in order to deliver that remnant that is left. Or is there reason then to despair? Is there reason to despair because we have no power? When did the church have power? Did the church have power in the Old Testament? They had no power. They were delivered by the Lord. And the church will never have power to deliver themselves. All that's why his promise, that is, that he is going to save his people in the same way. He says, look now, how that I have delivered that people when they were laying there in that slavery and bondage in the land of Egypt. And now the Lord is going to set his hand a second time. And he is going to do that in the same way, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt, when that people only stood still and they beheld the salvation of the Lord. Let us sing a moment. 358, 1 and 3. When in his might the Lord arose to set us free, and Zion was restored from her captivity in transports then of joy and mirth. We praise the Lord of all the earth. 1 and 3 of 358.
Thank you.
for the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. The remnant's highway, first the remnant, second their highway. What is a highway? Well, that spoke about a raised way or a public road. Thus, a way in which they have gone through and they have cleared away all of the obstacles so that persons who wished to travel could get headway, they could get onward with their journey, that there was nothing now that was standing in the way. And now what does the Lord say? He says, I'm going to clear away all of the obstacles for that remnant. For that remnant of my people that shall be left and that are not able to take away a single obstacle that is standing between God and your soul. The Lord says, I am going to make that into a highway, a raised way. It is going to be, as it were, a public road, because they are going to come from the east and from the west, sinners, vile, wretched sinners. They are going to be Gentiles that are going to come on that highway from every direction, and I am going to take away everything that does hinder their journey, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind he shall shake his hand over the river and shall smite it in the seven streams and make men go over dry shod. The tongue of the Egyptian sea. You can look at the map when you come home, boys and girls, and you look at that Red Sea, and it looks just like a tongue coming up into that land. So the Lord says he is going to destroy that tongue of the Egyptian sea. And then it speaks about the river. He's going to shake his hand over the river. There is difference of opinion what river that is, whether that is the Nile River or the Euphrates or the Jordan River, but it doesn't really matter to us, because the message to us is still the same. Oh, with his mighty hand, the Lord has blown with his wind, remember that, children, over that Red Sea, and then he has made that path through the sea. Oh, that was the mighty hand of the Lord. And now the Lord says, I am going to do that again for that remnant of my people that are left. I'm going to shake my hand over the river and go dry that river up, so that men will go over dry shod. That means that they're going to go over with their shoes on. That means that it's not muddy. No, but it is completely dry, and they'll be able to walk right over that river. Or the Red Sea and the Jordan, they were great obstacles. Children of Israel stood there before that sea. Enemy was behind them. The mountains were on two sides. That sea was in front of them. That was an obstacle that they certainly it could not come over. There was no way to remove it. And now the Lord says, I am just going to shake my hand. And when I shake my hand, it is all going to be done. And nothing is going to stand in the way of this remnant anymore. And so we have set before us what we say is the remnant's highway. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. That is now the highway that is promised through that new king that would be born. That child, we heard about that in that manger, right, boys and girls? Then that child, that king, is going to make this highway. He's going to raise it up, and he is going to take away everything that is now standing in the way for his church. That highway is going to lead from all the different corners of the world when those elect people of the Lord are scattered. So it will not just be the Jewish people, no, but it is going to be also the Gentiles over all the nations of the world. And that highway is going to come from so many different places, and it is all going to go to one place. It is going to go onto that spiritual Canaan. It is going to go to that heavenly Canaan. It is going to go to that land of promise, to that land of rest. And that is why we say, congregation, what does now that mean to us? That means that there is no day like our day, because that way, that is, as it were, never so open. That way was never so cleared as it is in our day. So that if a man does not enter in, we say it is because he has no desire. Believe that? It is because he has no desire. It is because he has a natural heart and a natural disposition that would rather have all that is in this world, and that does not wish to walk upon this highway. The Lord says that he calls men from the ends of the earth, from the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Oh, how righteous is our condemnation when this goodness of the Lord that we hope to commemorate this week, when that goodness of the Lord, when that love of the Lord does not break our heart, does not break our heart. And it does not lead us to repentance, and does not give us a desire after the things that he has come to give unto his people, because there is no need in our heart, because there is no desire in our heart that we may bow before this King. Oh, how many obstacles. How many obstacles stand in your way? Are there those that have obstacles that you cannot receive that desire that maybe the Lord has placed within your heart? What is standing in the way now? What is standing in the way? Can you answer that question? You say guilt. Guilt. Yeah, you don't know my life. You don't know my heart. Oh, when I have to appear before God, that is to me a mountain. Is it so? Do you know what the Lord says of that mountain? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt be made a plain, a plain. That is now that highway. All the Lord has taken that mountain away. For those who cannot take it away. Not for those who can take it away. They don't need it. He has taken it away for those who are not able. Is that a burden to you? Oh, and then he has come with that blessed body to hang it upon that cross. And he was condemned by a judge, as the representation of his Father, condemned, declared to be innocent of not his own guilt, No, it was the guilt of others. Oh, he has raised up a highway, and he has cleared all that guilt away, so that though a person, he has sinned everything, oh, no matter how much guilt and how great that guilt is, oh, then he has taken away completely that great mountain. Oh, what is then standing in your way? Is there not a highway? Ah, you say there is corruption. There is corruption. Oh, that is also an obstacle. That is for sure. But is it an obstacle that he has removed? That he has taken out of the way? Where was he born? He was born in a stable, was he not? Was he not laid in a manger? Oh, what has he bought? What has he bought by that price? He has bought white robes, we read in the Bible, pure white. Oh, you say the iniquity, the corruption, the sin, yes, pure white, pure white. So that nothing of all that corruption that is to be seen in the sight of God anymore. Do you know what he sees? Ah, he sees that blessed righteousness. He sees that holiness. That is that white robe, and that is covering that people. And so there is no more guilt that is standing in the way. And then there is no more filth and no more pollution that is standing in the way of that people. What is then still in the way? Ah, you say, I'm dead. It is my death state. It is my depravity. It is the sinfulness of my existence. All that stands in our way, that is true. All we acknowledge that. But congregation, it does not stand in his way. No, because he says, a new heart it will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give to you an heart of flesh. Oh, do you see it? Do you feel it? Oh, that highway. That highway wherein there is a traveling, that is a traveling unto God, unto God. What do you think of that, children, young people? Have you a desire in your soul? God is a spirit, do you remember? Or in these weeks, is there anything in your soul that says, oh Lord, could I know thee? Could I know thee? Thou great and thou holy spirit, my maker, my creator, and thy dear and only begotten son. Oh, you say, if I only could know him. Does that desire, does that now live in your heart? And now there is not for that people who are so helpless to obtain that desire that the Lord has placed in their heart. Oh, there is nothing left of that least stumbling block. But that way, that is, congregation, so completely open. So open. In his only begotten Son. Oh, that is now that root of Jesse. That root of Jesse. That is standing as an ensign unto the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Oh, will you also seek it through him? Because he says, he that believeth on him shall not be made ashamed. He shall not be confounded. No, though you bring with you your mountain of guilt, though you bring with you all of the pollution, oh, that wretched, wretched pollution that is living by day and by night that you cannot rid out of your heart. Oh, then all of this and all the depravity of your soul and all of your helplessness and all of your poverty, oh, take it there. And take it there all to him, tell him. You ever tell him about it? You ever tell him about it? On your knees, in your secret chamber? Oh, the grace of that new king, that his congregation as wide as the ocean. And you know what he says? Oh, it is all about that fountain. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Oh, Lord, what a fountain. What an unending fountain to cleanse away all the guilt and all the pollution and all the corruption. Oh, thou hast made such a highway for that remnant of thy people. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to give us also a true sorrow for our sin, that we also may be given eyes to behold with preciousness and with a blessed suitability in him in whom all the solution for a poor soul does exist. Oh, that we may believe in him and what he has promised to do for a wretched and for a miserable sinner. Oh, take away all of our unbelief. Draw our souls after thee. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Give us desire to be together also midweek. And wilt thou help each one in all the work of our hands, be with the children and young people when there is no school in these weeks. Watch over and keep us all from danger, accident. Keep us all from sin and a sudden and unprepared death. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 50 is our closing psalter. Come ye that fear Jehovah, ye saints, your voices raise. Come, stand in awe before him and sing his glorious praise. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 50. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.